She's joining us for the papers now. She's starting with the South Korean elections. The press, they're reacting as the elections get underway, Dipti.
Yeah, it's dominating the South Korean press, naturally. As you can imagine, Stuart, this Tuesday, Korean voters heading to the polls for those snap presidential elections after months of political turmoil that came after the ouster of former President Yoon Suk-yeol. Now, these are the faces of the two leading candidates are on the front of the Korea Times here. You have Lee Jae-myung from the Liberal Democratic Party and the conservative leader Kim Moon-soo here on the right. The Korean paper, which is a centrist paper, also underlining, as you see there on the front page, an interesting fact that the new leader will be taking office without the customary 60-day transition period. The last time this happened was back in 2017 when Moon Jae-in won the election and took office one day after winning. It obviously once again raises concerns about the government's readiness to manage state affairs, but nonetheless, what will happen right after this election. Koreans will no doubt be hoping for stability in the country politically and economically, because of course Donald Trump's tariff wars have hit the South Korean economy hard. It's perhaps why the Korea Herald today calls it a D-Day showdown on its front page.
Yeah, the editorials have quite a lot to say as well, don't they, Dipti?
Yeah, absolutely. And you can really grasp how the gravity of this election really through the editorials today. This is from the Korea Times there, which says that Korea's future hinges on this election. The paper really encouraged by the high level of early voting, despite rather high levels of voter apathy and frustration. But it reminds us nonetheless that elections are not a choice between good and bad, but rather the lesser of two evils. This is from the Korea Joongang Daily. This is a conservative paper in the country there, which says that the presidential election must bring a new start for Korea. The paper actually likening this election to a recent Korean box office hit called Yadang, The Snitch, a film which examines political and institutional corruption. This paper really encouraging voters to scrutinize candidates carefully, saying, I quote, loyalty, sentiment and empty promises should not sway votes. And finally, you have the Hankyore, which is a very progressive paper in Korea, which says that Tuesday's election opens a new chapter in Korean democracy. It's time for voters to shine, it says, and the paper calls it a pivotal moment for Korean society as well.
Now let's move on to a moving portrait that Dipti has found. It's in the New York Times. It's about a social media influencer and female genital mutilation survivor.
And she will definitely ring a bell for you, Stuart, because you actually interviewed her on your Perspective
show
years ago.
Okay, yeah.
The New York Times today profiling Shamsa Sharaway, whom they call a, quote, sweary and self-possessed British anti-cutting campaigner, one who is perfect for the TikTok generation and who has indeed garnered a cult following. She talks frankly on TikTok about having endured female genital mutilation at the age of 6 in her Somali village. And most recently, she talks about having undergone genital reconstruction surgery in Germany a few years ago, or as she calls it, regrowing the flower. The Times paying tribute to a woman whom they call at the vanguard of a new generation of female genital mutilation survivors in the West who are candid about their trauma, aware of their rights, and most importantly, unafraid to criticize revered national institutions.
Yeah, she was an amazing woman. I remember, a very good guest. Let's talk about a new hero now. It's on Roland Garros's center court yesterday. It's a French woman. Her name is Loïs Boisson.
Boisson, right. Absolutely. The French tennis woman ranked 361 in the world. So you could be forgiven for not knowing who she is.
But I know it now.
Her name is certainly one that will be on everyone's lips, at least until tomorrow. She was a wild card entry and she pulled off one of the biggest upsets on Monday at Roland Garros, defeating world number 3 Jessica Pegula in 3 sets. She's on the cover of L'Equipe newspaper, which is no easy feat either, right after Paris Saint-Germain's win. They evoke the Boisson sensation. And also her win coming at a particularly fraught time, of course, because Roland Garros organizers have come under fire for the lack of women's nighttime matches scheduled on center court. Indeed, the Wall Street Journal recalls that when she began her match yesterday against Pegula, the court was practically empty, people choosing to have lunch, then watch a match that they thought would be a blowout. Well, they were definitely wrong about that. The court was fully packed by the time she was serving for match point. Boisson is the first French tennis woman to reach the quarterfinals since 2017. She'll face Mira Andreeva on Wednesday. Here's hoping she can pull maybe a second upset at the tournament.
Yeah, you never know. Could go all the way, maybe not, but fingers crossed. Finally, from Dipti, he was the first black man to embody the title role in the Doctor Who franchise, but now Shruti Gatwa has been replaced.
Yeah, and I'm told you're a fan of the Doctor Who franchise.
It's the show of my childhood, Doctor Who.
Well, there you go.
But
well,
I do still watch it, I have to be honest, yes.
Well, this story will definitely interest you then, Stuart, because the actor who embodied Doctor Who most recently is Shruti Gatwa, the star, one of the stars of the TV series Sex Education. Now he's actually the actor who's embodied the Doctor Who role for the shortest amount of time. He was meant to give Doctor Who a refreshing modern makeover, black, young, queer and beautiful, as The Guardian notes in this article. But he's being replaced now, and ultimately the paper explains it was a convergence of several issues. Gatwa's Doctor Who cried a lot, which perhaps cheapened the other times that the character has cried in the past, but also perhaps viewer expectations that Doctor Who resembles other out-of-the-world shows like Andor that are more high-profile, and also a few subpar episodes in the recent season. Anyway, he's out, unfortunately. It's also earned this rebuke from Gizmodo, perhaps equivalent to being put in the naughty corner. Doctor Who needs to go away and think about what it did. The paper, the website saying that Gatwa's Doctor deserved so much more. It appears that the world is not quite ready for a modern, a new Doctor Who.
We shall see what happens. We know sort of who might be replacing
him. We did. We saw a glimpse.
But we don't know really whether the new person is the Doctor.
Exactly.
There you go.
Indeed.
See, I know all about it. Thanks a lot. Dipti Gilarola with the papers on France 24.